Morning. Welcome. Lovely to see different faces week by week, service for service, especially for those who will be listening to us online. My name's Ben Thorndike. I'm the minister here. I'll be leading us through the service. I'll be preaching later as well as we continue our series in Luke's Gospel. It's our third Sunday back in the building. We're already growing and changing. This morning, David Latimer's leading us live in our music. And we've also got the chance to stay around after the service a little if we'd like. And there's more on that as we finish. Hard as it is at the moment, and I found this past week particularly hard, mourning the things we can't do and the way we were back in March. We were flying high as a church family. It is nevertheless good. In fact, it's important to be back together in person on a Sunday morning. And our focus this term after a long summer is helping us find ways to fellowship together more and more and in meaningful ways, Sundays and beyond into the week. And there's lots in this week's news sheet. It was a real tonic for me as I wrote it this morning. I'm not going to actually say any of it now other than to say, if you feel like I did in the week, there is actually lots happening. There's lots planned. There's lots of opportunities. There's lots to be thankful for. There's lots for us to grab and take hold of together. Do read that news sheet. Let me encourage you particularly to read it this week with the encouragement in it. Don't wait. Be praying. Grab the opportunities to get involved, to get stuck in, to minister to one another, to fellowship together as we move into the autumn term. It's been a long summer. But actually now our eyes are on particularly being back together and doing what we can together where it's safe and it's legal to do so. So please speak to me if you've got thoughts or ideas or you want to get stuck in. Praying is key though. And let's take a moment as we begin in thanks and praise with a prayer. Heavenly Father, together again, we thank you for this moment to be together, to praise and worship you together. May our time this morning be meaningful to us and an encouragement to one another. Grow in us bonds of affection for one another. Secure our unity as a church family, especially in light of COVID. And deepen our fellowship and experience of worshipping you together, that we might be encouraged spiritually and bring you glory in all we think and say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are ways we can participate in worshipping God together, even though we can't sing. One is in the public reading of God's word. And so our first act together this morning is to praise and worship our great God. And we're going to read some words from Revelation 7. Antiphonally, we dealt with that word a couple of weeks ago. It means alternatively. So let's stand, if you're able to stand. I'm going to read the white, and then if we join in with the words in the yellow. So let's stand if you want to. If you don't, that's fine. And we read Psalm 7 together. Let me start. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing round the throne, and round the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honour and power and strength be to our God for ever and ever. Amen." Our great God gave his son Jesus, who gave up his precious blood that we might have new life in him. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. We're going to hear more about the precious blood of Jesus now. Our first hymn, played and sung by David. Feel free to remain standing. Sit down. You can hum. You can wave your arms. You can groove silently. Whatever you want to do as you stand or sit down, or you can simply be still as David leads us. There is a fountain filled with blood. Thank you.
perish beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, and there may I, though vile, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Church of God, be saved to sin no more. If since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wound supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. When this police being stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. I'll sing thy power to save. And in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save.
Our great God gave up his son, Jesus, who gave up his precious blood that we might have new life in him. That's one thing Christians believe, but there are many more, some of which we're going to declare now in the Apostles' Creed, words based on the teaching of the apostles in the Bible. If you believe these things, do join in. If you don't, perhaps take a moment to think what you make of what's being said. So we say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Do take your seats. This is our last week, briefly reflecting on the Apostles' Creed together as all ages. What I didn't anticipate was how little space there is at the front for all age stuff, so bear with me as we do that this morning. This morning we're looking at, I believe in the resurrection of the body. We've just declared that together. I think we've got a slide on the screens. Let me read this through. Easter Friday, Jesus has died. All his friends are sad and they cried. Sunday morning, what a surprise. Jesus has risen. Hooray, he's alive. It's a song we sing at Easter, in our creche and at Little Seeds together. It goes to the tune of Humpty Dumpty. We can't sing it now, but we can say it together. It's got actions, so I'm going to add to that with the actions. If you want to say it, if you want to join in with the actions, do that. We're going to try that. So Easter Friday, Jesus has died. All his friends are sad and they cried. Sunday morning, what a surprise. Jesus is risen. Hooray, he's alive. That's what we celebrate on Easter morning. Jesus is risen. Hooray, he's alive. I believe in the resurrection of the body. But so what? So what? Does it matter that Jesus rose from the dead? Surely the cross is where the work was done. You know, it is finished and all that. Well, let me tell us a story, one for old and young here. Once upon a time, there was a dragon, a big, mean dragon. And a big, mean dragon lived in a big, dark cave, really dark. But the big, dark cave was next to a little village where lots of little villagers lived. And the little villagers were very scared of the big dragon. Every now and again, the dragon would creep out of his cave and gobble up some of the villagers. And nobody could do anything about it. They couldn't stop the dragon. He was too big and he was too scary. Some people tried, "I can kill the dragon," they'd say, but they couldn't. They went off to find the dragon and they never came back. But the dragon came back again and again and again. Then one day, a young villager called, I wonder what's a good name, Andrew. Let's take Andrew. A young villager called Andrew. Brave young villager. Called Andrew. He stepped up, he grabbed his sword, his very manly sword, pink Lego sword, and grabbed his shield, and he set off to find the dragon. Now, some of the other villagers followed him to the cave. Slowly, slowly, he walked up to the entrance of the cave. It was big and it was dark, and he thought he could hear the dragon. Slowly, slowly, he stepped into the cave. Into the darkness to face the dragon. Suddenly there was crashing and banging, screaming and roaring, then everything went silent. Still there. What had happened? Who had won? Had the dragon been defeated? Some people said he had, but they just couldn't be sure. Then suddenly Andrew came walking out of the cave. A little battered and bruised, with marks of his fight with the dragon. But there he was, standing tall, standing in victory. "He's really done it," said one young lady, maybe called June. "Really done it," said another. "Now we can be sure he's done it, and we don't have to be scared ourselves anymore." Easter Friday, Jesus has died. All his friends are sad and they cried. Sunday morning, what a surprise. Jesus is risen. Hooray, he's alive. That's what we celebrate on Easter morning. Jesus is risen. Hooray, he's alive. And it really matters. It matters a lot. How could the villagers be sure Andrew had defeated the dragon? Well, he came out. Really, truly, a real body out of the cave. They saw him again. How can we be sure Jesus defeated death? He rose again. He came back to life. Really, truly, a real body out of the grave. Lots of people saw him. They talked with him. They ate with him. The resurrection of Jesus' body means we can be sure he defeated death. And because Jesus defeated death, we can be sure of his promise of new life for us after we die, for all who trust in Jesus. One day we will be given new bodies. I believe in the resurrection of the body, Jesus' body, my body, and we can be sure because Jesus has proved it. Jesus has proved it. We can believe it. We say we believe it, but we don't always live as if we believe it, as if our hope is in Jesus. We often live with our hopes and dreams in many other things other than Jesus, for which it's right that we say sorry to God. So we've got some words of confession now, lots to bring to God. I'll lead, and if you join in with the responses, save us and help us. God our Father, we come to you sorry for our sins, for turning away from you and not thinking about what you want for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For behaving just as we want without doing what you want for us. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. And for the things we've thought and said that don't bring you glory, Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For acting as if we're ashamed to be trusting in Jesus. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. So may God, who is powerful and loving, forgive us and give us strength by his Spirit to live our new lives trusting in Jesus. Amen. When we say sorry to God, God promises to forgive us. God says through the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18, though your sins are scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Jesus' scarlet blood makes our scarlet sins as white as snow. And that's some crazy chemistry to get our heads round. We're coming to our time looking more at God's word now. Let me lead us in a prayer before the reading and preaching of God's word. Father God, we pray that as we hear your word read and preached now, your Spirit would take it, plant it deep in our hearts and grow in us the fruit of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do have your Bibles open if you've got them. I forgot mine, but I've been back to the car and we're okay. We've got a Bible to preach from, which is useful. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. That's Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. I remember as a child asking, "Can you help me?" Whether at school or at home, I can't remember. But it was met with a single word answer, yes. That was it, yes. No movement, no call to action. My inquiring face must have cried out for more, to which came, "I can help you, but will I help you?" They are two different questions. Now, I don't know if it was a smart parent or a smart teacher, I really can't remember, but it taught me the difference. And actually to ask latterly, "Will you help me?" We land once again this morning in Luke's Gospel, Dr. Luke's account of Jesus' life and ministry, written around 65 AD. And today we're in chapter 5, verses 12 to 16, the healing of a man with leprosy. Though we're going to focus this morning just on one verse, verse 13, at the heart of the passage. This is the last miracle Jesus does before the Pharisees start to gather against him. And the key question here is, will you help me? Verse 12, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus is, verse 12, in one of the towns around Galilee when a man comes to him covered with leprosy or a similar skin disease. This man would have been classed as unclean by Jewish law, ceremonially unclean. A man who cannot come to God as part of the worshipping community. He would have been barred, left out, an outsider out of the community, out of the worshipping community. This is no small thing. He is an outcast. He is unwelcome and he is unwanted. What does the man want? Well, verse 12, for Jesus to make him clean again, which we assume means healing of the leprosy, but it's also bigger than that. This man wants Jesus to bring him back on the inside, to make him part of things again. He knows Jesus can, so the question is, will Jesus? Does Jesus care enough to make this man clean? And if Jesus is willing, then can he? Is he powerful enough? Well, the answer is yes. Jesus is both willing and able to do that. And that's what Luke hits us with in verse 13. In this instance, the physical healing for the man with leprosy, but more than that, back into the community and the worshipping community of God's people. It's a picture we know which points us ultimately to God's forgiveness. This healing is real and physical for this man Jesus encounters, but it's also a picture for us of being brought back into a right relationship with God, into the worshipping community of God's people, which comes as people find God's forgiveness. What happened to this man on the outside of his skin is a picture of what God can do for him, for us, for anyone on the inside of our hearts. Can we find healing for the state of our hearts, forgiveness for our me-centered, not God-centered hearts, the forgiveness that will bring us to God, perhaps for the first time in our lives, or back to him where we've wandered away? Yes. Jesus is both willing and able. Let's take those briefly, one at a time. First, Jesus is willing. On the screen, Jesus can forgive you. He has the desire. Jesus really does care about each of us. Verse 13, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. Here is an outsider, an outcast. Rejected and alone, he comes to Jesus with nothing. Jesus cares about him. Where do you stand before God? Maybe you're doing okay. You feel spiritually alive, on fire, daily listening to God in his word and speaking to him in prayer. They're going well. This season of COVID may seem more like an opportunity than a challenge. You're fighting your battle against temptation to do the wrong thing at work, at home. You're not giving in. You're not giving up. That really may be you, and we must praise the Lord for that. But maybe you're struggling at the moment. That seems to be more the experience of most of us at this time, as I've met with and spoken to people about how they're doing. Things are hard. Some are particularly fearful about their health. Some feel particularly lonely or isolated. The death of a loved one intensified during this season of lockdown. Maybe very practically you're at the bottom. No work, money run out, anxious about your mortgage or rent, feeding your family. If you're listening and that's you, please get in touch with the church office here. Or maybe your struggles are more within. Maybe you've just given up on things. Close to giving up on life, or just people, especially those irritating Christians who seem to be bouncing everywhere with a jangly message about Jesus. Maybe you've never really given any real thought to God in your life, but you're struggling now and want to come to him, but you know God will see your hypocrisy just because the moment's a bad one. Or maybe you do call yourself a Christian, yet you found yourself way down a path you know isn't where God wants you. Perhaps a relationship, or at work or school, something you've gotten into and you can't see a way out of it. Perhaps you don't even want a way out of it. Does Jesus care about you? Yes. Does Jesus want you to come to him and find forgiveness? Come to him with nothing to offer, no good works or great decisions, no status or good reputation, like the leper who came to Jesus with nothing? Yes. Jesus wants you to come to him. Does Jesus want to bring you into a right relationship with God, to a place of peace with God, where you know God's comfort and help, his guiding and sustaining hand? The joy of knowing he's taken that burden from you and dealt with its consequences already on the cross. Yes, no one is beyond the scope of Jesus' love. Jesus' desire to make us clean, forgive us if we will come to him. Luke wants us to see Jesus' compassionate response to the leper. When people come in need to Jesus, they find in him grace beyond measure, giving us what we don't deserve, fixing us, starting from the inside out, our hearts and our relationship with God. Jesus can forgive you. He has the desire. Secondly, he has the power. Maybe you long to make things right with someone, a broken relationship. I fell out with my best friend from school nearly 20 years ago. Things are never one-sided, but I tried over the years to pull it back. I had the desire, but I didn't have the power to fix it. It's all well and good having the desire for something, longing for it with all our hearts, but it's no good if we don't have the power to make it happen. It remains simply a pipe dream. It's Disney theology, wonky theology. Just believe enough and anything can happen. It's unhelpful. It's even damaging when our desires and dreams don't come true. Verse 13. I am willing, Jesus said. Be clean. Wait for it. And immediately the leprosy left him. Bang. Or boom, we might say. The leprosy left him. I love this quote from Bishop J.C. Ryle, a lively emblem of Christ's power to heal our souls. A picture of Jesus' power to bring forgiveness and heal the state of our hearts. Jesus can forgive you. He has the desire. He also has the power. And we need it. Even with healthy bodies, our souls all need healing. Jesus can forgive any and every case of spiritual leprosy if we will but come to him and ask. No one is beyond the scope of Jesus' love, his desire to make us clean, to forgive us if we'll come to him. And no one is beyond the ability of Jesus' forgiveness. There is nothing we have done or can do that he cannot forgive, even when it costs him to do so. That's our final heading. He is willing to count the cost. Have you heard of the pale blue dot? I think we've got that on our next slide. Here's a picture. And I quote, 30 years ago, NASA's Voyager 1 spacecraft had travelled well beyond the realm of the planets, nearly a billion miles further out than Neptune. It swiveled round and stared backwards, and there, pressed onto a star-studded sky, was pale blue Earth. The pink arrow's mine to help us see the dot. That's not a big arrow in the universe. American astronomer Carl Sagan is quoted as saying of this picture, that's here, that's home, that's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you've ever heard of, every human being who has ever lived out their lives on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. Where is God in a universe so big? Let's move our slides on. God is not a distant and far off God, somewhere out there floating way beyond the pale blue dot. God is intimately involved in our lives. He is invested in us, even when it's costly for him to do so. Jesus touches the man, verse 13. Given that Jesus' word has been the focus of his power so far through chapters 4 and 5, this must be a deliberate act of touch, to touch the man covered in leprosy when Jesus didn't have to. An act that would make Jesus unclean by letter of the Old Testament law. It would put Jesus outside the community, outside the worshipping community. Jesus' involvement in this life's man is costly. He is willing to count the cost. It's not just lip service or shouting from afar, but a real costly involvement for our sake. And we know Jesus' willingness to forgive us, to secure our forgiveness, will ultimately cost him his life. Read on through Luke's Gospel to chapter 23. Jesus loves us that much, he is willing to go that far. You are more loved than you could ever imagine. And of course, we're not Jesus. But for Christians, those who have turned to Jesus for forgiveness, it's a great challenge to our own ministries. In as much as Jesus is the perfect model of Christian living, to get in with, alongside those we are ministering to, one another, our local community, in a way that's costly. To get into people's lives and walk with them. It will take a conscious effort on our part to break out of our comfort zones, our comfort people, to reach out to others, to get to know others, especially those who are new to us, in a costly way for us. To support, encourage, and draw them into the community of God's people for their sake, and for God's glory, but that is Christ-like love. Jesus can forgive you. He has the desire. He has the power. He is willing to count the cost. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise that you care for us, whoever we are, whatever we've done, that you long for us to come to you for forgiveness, that you can forgive us and fix our broken relationship with you because of Jesus, who was willing to count that cost for us, dying in our place that we might have new life in him. We pray that we might each be those who turn to Jesus today and every day. Amen.
Sorry, but this is broken.
Oh. June's visor is broken. We might have a clean one. Let me find you one, June, before you come up.
Thank you.
we will not have a second bad surge, at least nothing like the original outbreak. Amen. We pray for the children returning to school in this coming week, and for the teachers and staff working in school. We pray you will keep everyone well, particularly as we are heading for the time of cold, etc. Lord, please help the older children and young people in general to accept the importance of social distancing and not regardlessly breaking the rules. Amen. Lord, we pray for our government that you will give them wisdom in so many areas, in particular illegal immigrants, and for the talks going on with the French. We pray that humanitarian solutions can be found, and particularly today pray for those sitting on a boat in the Mediterranean where no country wants to take them. Lord, have mercy and help them please. We also pray for satisfactory agreements with regard to trade deals with the EU and other nations in the wider world. We remember those who are suffering greatly due to the coronavirus, with loss of jobs and income, and now suffering mentally as a result of their worry and concern. Lord, we ask that you will meet their needs one way or another and give them your peace so that they can sleep at night. Lord, we pray for our church, and thank you, Lord, that today we may be able to have some conversation afterwards, Lord. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to guide and direct the way forward. And we also ask for this for poor people suffering from loss of homes, etc., and in Beirut, and pray for them particularly, that you will help these people. Amen. We give thanks and praise that Luciana Pettit has started to improve again, having suffered a setback during lockdown, and we continue to pray for complete healing eventually. Thank you, Lord. We also remember other people known to us who are unwell and undergoing hospital treatment at this time, as well as the bereaved. Let us have a moment's silence while we pray especially for those known to us. Amen. So let us now say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, be thy name, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, June. Before we share together in the Lord's Supper, a quick reminder on COVID logistics. We're only allowed to serve bread, not wine, which is fine. The bread and wine are symbols of a greater reality, the body and blood of Jesus. The bread has real sustenance for us as we receive it by faith, but we don't need either to add to our salvation. So it's okay to receive only one. If you want to receive, please hold your hand out and I will drop the bread into your hand. I won't say anything in the moment, but please feel free to remain standing or sit once you receive the bread. Let's stand. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Father, we thank you most of all for your Son. His name is Jesus, Saviour, because he saves his people from their sins. He gave up all the glory of heaven and became a servant. He lived his life humbly submitting to you, his Father, and obeyed you by dying on the cross. You raised him to the highest place in heaven and gave him the name above every name. Jesus Christ is Lord. All beings in heaven and on earth will fall at his feet and proclaim to your glory, Jesus Christ is Lord. So we join with angels and all the company of heaven, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Praise fills highest heaven. Do you take your seats? Praise and thanks to you, Father in heaven. On the night before he died, your Son Jesus Christ took bread. He gave thanks, broke the bread, and said, Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup of wine and said, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many to bring you forgiveness for your sins. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me. So with thankfulness and joy, we say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us as we remember Jesus' sacrifice for us, made once for all on the cross. Feed us that we may live and grow in him. Through him we worship you, mighty Father, in songs of everlasting praise. Praise and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And we've got the chance to say again now the Lord's Prayer as our Saviour taught us. So we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Every time we eat this bread and drink this wine, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. As we share the Lord's Supper together, David's going to play in the background. If you want to use this time to reflect quietly on what we're doing together, that's great. It won't be silent. We're here together. It's a joy and a privilege. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus, if you've been baptised and regularly received the bread and the wine, you're welcome to hold out your hand to receive. That may not be for everyone here, which is fine. If that isn't you, please don't feel awkward about keeping your hands by your side or remaining in your seat. And if the Lord's Supper isn't for you, it's better to do these things. This is a meal for those who are trusting in the Lord Jesus, who are committed to living for him in spite of our sinfulness and who are united and at peace with one another. The Bible warns us against receiving the bread and the wine if that's not how we come together this morning. We are urged to examine ourselves before receiving. So before I sort my hands and mask out, let me lead us in a prayer. Father, we pray that each of us here might be trusting in the Lord Jesus all the days of our life, delighting to live for him forever, and knowing the peace we have with you through him. Amen. So if you want to receive as I come round, do stand up, hold your hands out. If not, that's fine. Keep your hands down or stay in your seat.
you in us.
New life through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. We've nearly come to the end of our time together now. I hope you're all encouraged to be here. A reminder of the opportunity to chat about our sermon, the service and other things over Zoom at 12 o'clock. Note the new time of 12 o'clock. And one final opportunity to praise God in song now. All as before, stand or sit, sing. Stand if you want to, don't sing. Stand if you want to stretch your legs, don't sing. But you can hum and do other things that are not singing. I'm going to be quiet and let David lead us. That's probably best.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Win. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you from your passion and pride, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Room for a cleansing to Calvary's tide, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power.
Much more grooving there at the end. We had some dancing, lots of swaying from all ages. Let me lead us in a final prayer together with responses in yellow. You believe that by his dying, Jesus destroyed death forever. Amen. You live by faith in Jesus, the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. Amen. May he send you out to glory in his cross and to live no longer for yourselves, but for Jesus, who died and was raised to life for us. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you always. Amen.